Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known, if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. We have Larry on his mountaintop for an hour of update and commentary, I guess one could say. Hi, Larry, how are you doing?
Hey, Stuart, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I want to start out with Daniel 12, 3 through 5. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
We are in that. Definitely in that area where technology and specialization is definitely increasing by leaps and bounds. So that's just one more prophecy that's already been basically fulfilled and continues to be fulfilled. So I thought maybe that'd be a good place to start because it appears as though high technology is going to be the weapons used in the upcoming wars. What do you think?
Well, it seems to be. You and I were talking earlier today about space weapons, and there's some clandestine or hidden threats, moving around on the internet about those weapons. So, yeah, and two, we could bring up at this point the 5G.
Yes.
Well, there's, not only just internet service, but I'm actually finding that the 5G is basically going to take over the medical field and the whole ball of wax. I mean, that thing is going to just consume all of us, I suppose.
Yeah, you were saying something about that it's going to be required for medical usage, monitoring, and all that sort of thing. And, of course, we already got monitoring. I don't think necessarily the people that know when they're out exercising and running and they're wearing these things that monitor their heartbeat and all that, that's all being not only their position, but everything about them is being uploaded to central data. It's really amazing how they're collecting all this data. Not that we didn't know it. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Sneakers. Do you remember that one? At all?
Yeah.
And that was all about the data. And data brings power. And power brings control. And we are walking, especially in America, but China and elsewhere, the whole world is walking into this very satanic, super controlled global society, which is going to control every little bit. That's why I focused in on what China's doing with their social credit system, which was actually introduced by Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie Total Recall, where they even came right out and said social credits. And they were using holographic projections in that movie as well. And, Schwarzenegger did a lot of movies that were highly, highly prophetic. And the Terminator series was all about AI, artificial intelligence, and how they came in and basically took over. And I believe that is part of this prophecy, I guess you could call it, of the Golem, where I'm convinced it's computer-based. And even your AI, that's all computerized. And if people haven't seen it, they should go get Lawnmower Man 1 and Lawnmower Man 2 and pay attention to what it's telling you. And that was issued a long, long time ago, actually, years ago now, and it was all about the internet and interfacing with the computers. Do you remember that one at all, Larry?
Oh, I do, and one of my favorites, Stuart, was Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie Total Recall, I think, where they terraformed Mars, and that was all planned.
Yes.
And had great machines underground of all places to do that.
Yeah, and the aliens had been there and built huge machinery for the terraforming. All of those movies are very, very telling of the future, and they lay it out in front of everybody. And the reason they do that, for all you folks listening, is you got to remember that the Illuminati, the powers that be, the Psalm 2 rulers and kings, actually consider themselves as gentlemen and gentle ladies, and they therefore tell you in advance what they're going to do. And they do it through movies, they do it through magazine articles, they do it through the TVs, all that. And then you cannot say, well, you didn't tell us you were doing this. Unfortunately, yes, they did. It's just that nobody believes it. I remember when we produced that the documentary series on Iron Mountain. Everybody poo-pooed it, said, that's not possible. That's not, never happened here. Well, it's already happened. You know, like Stan said the other night when we were on, he said, I can't believe, and I can't either, and I know you can't, how comatose and ignorant or naive the people are. I mean, they're doing this stuff right under the noses of the people. Prophecy is being fulfilled to the exact letter, and yet people are turning away from it. I always thought that as you got towards the end, people would become more and more interested in prophecy. Not so. It's the opposite. And I can't quite, other than denial, I can't quite figure out why.
Well,
what
what's interesting here too, I remember when you had put out Iron Mountain, and some of that data, you became public enemy number one, and the Southern Poverty Law Center had you, boy, they had you staked out and almost, tar and feathered.
Yeah. Yeah, that brought in quite a bit of interesting stuff. We had what I thought were probably FBI agents. That was under Clinton. And I was in the studio working on a video at the time, actually. And the Holy Spirit said, I think you better go outside and take a look. Something's going on. So I went outside and looked. And here's these SUV-type vehicles. And there's four guys with high-powered rifles walking up my part of the land. And as soon as I saw them, they turned around, went, got back in their car and left. Well, I jumped in my truck and I went after them. And I found them on the other side of the property, getting out and walking. They'd already jumped the fence except for one of them. And they were, I think they were there to snipe, because I asked the sheriff, I said, is there anything in season? Why would these people be having, they were huge scopes, sniper scopes, obviously. And he said, nothing is in season. Nothing is in season. So they were there to stake me out, I guess, like they did Randy Weaver and that sort of thing. And then we had black helicopters. And as you know, the black helicopters never existed. They were just made up, but we had them right over the studio, and they were dropping balloons on the ground, throwing them out and dropping them on the ground over across the road. It was all intimidation tactics, all because of Iron Mountain. And I had no idea when I made it that that was going to cause such a ruckus. And by the way, Iron Mountain Blueprint Fraternities for free. If anybody wants to watch it, they go to Angel Fault 923 and find my channel there, and it's for nothing. You'll find it up there along with Why America's Babylon, and people need to see both of those. And then you'll know what's happening here in America and why it's happening. But anyway, kind of drifting off. what's this deal with? Now, this comes from Sorcha Falls, so I guess we have to take it with somewhat of a grain of salt. Satan's fingers activated. Satellite disguised as telescope actually could be a laser particle beam or microwave weapon. What is that about, Larry?
Well, it's kind of an interesting scenario. If you'll remember, President Trump made the remark talking about North Korea that if there was a double cross or something happened, or at the time, I guess you could say they attacked Guam or Hawaii, that was going on then. He said there would be fire and fury. He said such as the world has never seen. And you and I talked, and, you know, you remember that under siege.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the two or something like that, where they actually, this group, I guess you could say, hijacked a
satellite, yes.
Clandestine hidden satellite and began, well, they attacked China for starters in that movie.
Yes.
And, there was a guy, I believe his name was Bob Fletcher, that was on Augusto Perez's show maybe 9 months ago or so, and he actually had personal knowledge of a space weapon that the government had put secretly in space, and he said he was really concerned if they ever decided to try to use it against the planet or a location on the planet. And so, you know, we know that Sorcha Falls is kind of a very hidden clandestine situation.
Yes.
And there have been some that said they believe that's actually the FSB operating.
Yes.
You know, but they do have very interesting scenarios, and you know, it makes you think. The article literally makes you think.
Well, what's interesting about it, and I'll read part of this article, folks, because if you haven't seen it, you really need to listen to it. What happens with Sorcha Falls is usually within a month, maybe less, there'll be all kinds of confirmation of the articles. They openly admit every once in a while they put out disinformation. So it's, you know, you never know what's true or what isn't. But I got a feeling this may well be true. Russia, China prepare after U.S. activates Satan's fingers space weapon disguised as a Hubble space telescope. A literally out-of-this-world new Ministry of Defense report circulating in the Kremlin states that the Chinese Minister of National Defense is rushing to Moscow after both Russia and China vowed to maintain global peace and stability. That comes on the heels of Stephen F. Cohen, Ph.D., Professor Emeritus at Russian Studies and Politics at New York University in Princeton, joining the growing global chorus of experts warning that all the unproven allegations against President Trump and Putin are risking nuclear war, but with the greatest present fear being a series of what are believed to be activation codes sent yesterday by the U.S. military's prompt global strike called PGS program to its Satan's fingers space weapon disguised as a Hubble space telescope. According to the report, within hours of the MOD confirming yesterday that the apocalyptic dead hand nuclear barrage war plan had been activated, and that in 2011 Strategic Missile Forces Commander Lieutenant George Sergei Karakarev, I guess, confirmed that it existed, and it was operational. A series of coded electronic messages were detected being sent by U.S. military's prompt global strike program to their Satan's fingers space weapon, currently occupying the orbit of what was the Hubble Space Telescope. And then they go on to say why that could well be a weapon. But it's kind of interesting, don't you think?
Well,
in view of the California fires?
Yeah. Well, like I say, if you look back at that Under Siege 2 movie or whatever that was, it was very telling. That was, you know, that was another satellite situation. And, of course, we've wondered what has been going on. You know, we know they were supposed to have upgrades of the Hubble, if that's what they were. We don't know. But the space plane, remember,
yes,
went up and stayed for months operating in space, and we don't know what was going on. So it just maybe a clue, maybe a little disinformation, and maybe a little of both.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is the California fires. Nobody ever really came up with why even steel itself was melted because it was so hot. And a normal house fire never reaches those kind of degrees. And there were witnesses who said that it was perfectly calm. Then all of a sudden, it got very windy, and then everything just kind of ignited, which is indicative of either microwave or particle beam or something of that nature that's being used. So they might have been experimenting with it and activating it and getting ready. There's something going on. What's this deal with Kim going to China? And I think we really got to talk about that one because there's something going on here. He visits Putin. He's going to visit Putin in Russia, as I understand it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's very, very interesting, Stuart. It appears he was summoned to China to meet with Xi, and, of course, China denied that because he apparently took a armored train to Beijing. He doesn't like to fly, so he took that train, and then a couple of days later, out comes all these photographs of a really incredible set of meetings and photographs and you know, even the armored train itself, you know, on the internet of that meeting. Then as soon as he returns to North Korea, his nuclear site got extremely busy, and at the same time, China then sent an envoy directly to South Korea, and there's reportedly a meeting with Putin that Kim has to have upcoming. Now, what's interesting, too, something else today, or a couple things today has come out. You know,
yeah,
I shared with you that we apparently now have found his nuclear facility, which is between Pyongyang and China. Actually, it's closer to China. And actually, I saw some satellite images of it. At the same time, you know, all of this clandestine stuff is going, and you know, everybody's pretty much involved except the U.S., and the U.S. has toned down its rhetoric. But at the same time, you know, China has put to, you know, out into the
South
ocean
China
there,
sea,
the Yellow Sea,
yeah,
I guess, a huge fleet, like 40 warships plus, and that includes their aircraft carrier. You know, I talked to Augusto Perez today, and he was also very skeptical of the Kim Jong-un situation, and he said it was
yeah,
more and more feeling like possibly a trap, as you've said.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. This is a trap, and surely the least of them shall draw America Babylon out, and I would say the least of them would be Kim. In fact, you remember the movie, I don't know why I just remembered it, Iron Sky. Did you ever see Iron Sky?
Yeah.
You remember how they mocked the North Koreans in that movie? When they were having their conference at the UN, everybody was laughing at the North Koreans and mocking them. Surely the least of them. And it just made me wonder, is Kim actually the least of them that's going to draw the world, basically, into World War III? It definitely draws us out. And there's something really going on, because why would Kim be summoned to China and then be summoned basically to Russia? And it all happens after John Bolton is brought into Trump's team. And he is a hyper hawk, and has advocated nuking North Korea more than once openly on Fox News. I don't know if you'd call it nuking, but attacking and beheading that group. And you can't tell me that Russia and China are not in North Korea's camp. They have to be. They have to be for the rare metals and everything that, and you know, there's no way we could take over if there was an attack by Kim to the south. By the time that was over and China and Russia would be moving in, that's why they're probably amassed on the border in the first place, we'd be left out and they would have taken over the entire Korean Peninsula. And like you were just saying, if they've got 40 or more ships in the southern, the China South Sea area, and I think that's where they've made all these artificial islands that they're turning into military bases. And so we have been kind of challenging that, right?
Yeah, that's the Spratly Islands, as they call it, and the other islands that they've made into military bases. And at the same time, I don't know if you've heard the reports, but there's been a number of Russian ships also move along the coast or the border with North Korea, between Russia and North Korea, in the waters there. You've got Russian ships, and they've also massed troops and missile batteries. So this thing is building up, you know, no doubt about it. And really, there, you know, some of Fox News experts were talking today, and they said that Obama has so savagely depleted our Navy, we really can't take all this on.
Yeah, I think that was obviously on purpose. Obama's the biggest traitor that's ever probably been in the presidency, although I'd have to say most of them are, because they have an agenda, and that agenda is to topple the United States and bring us into the globalist, communist, new world order. And that's their agenda, and they don't care. In fact, they appreciate the fact that millions of Americans are going to die in the process. This is all part of their satanic belief structure, though I would have to say most of them probably don't believe in anything except their agenda. They're kind of biological computers walking around. They certainly don't have any conscience. And so, you know, I guess we wait, but you know, the prophecies against America, one of them is that we become the hammer of the whole earth. And the people that we hammer decide they've had enough. And they join forces and they take us out. And folks, if you want to find out how that works, go into Isaiah chapter 47. That's about America, Babylon. Jeremiah 50 and 51. That's about America, Babylon, most of it. Some of it applies to the old Babylon. And then we have Revelation 17 and 18. And if you read those and read them carefully, you find out that we're in a lot of trouble. And the attack upon the United States, if you read Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, comes when the former Soviet Union allies raid or come against Israel. And I think it's being misread, really, because what it basically says is that when Gog and Magog and his troops are already in Israel and on the mountains and they're fighting, that Gog, the leader, which is probably Putin, although we don't know, has an evil thought, says. And he thinks, I'm going to go up to the land of unwalled villages to take a prey, to take a spoil, to attack those that have been at peace with neither gates nor walls on their cities. And if you really research that, what he's really talking about is they're going to come up over the poles and attack America in a nuclear missile attack. And they take us out in about 1 hour's time. And when we see this coalition come against Israel, which, Larry, I don't know if you agree, but I think we're watching that start already, where they're really forming their coalition in secret, and they will attack Israel. There's no question about it. And when we see that, we may have only hours, weeks, or maybe a few weeks before we're taken out. And you do a word study on it, you look at it carefully and cross-compare, which is what you always have to do when you're working with Scripture. You'll find a reference to Babylon being living carelessly in the isles. And we're kind of an island nation surrounded by water, and we live carelessly, according to the Lord. So, yeah, this is all a trap, every bit of it. And so they are getting together, and it's amazing, is it not, that we got Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, Turkey, all in cahoots with one another. Go.
Well, absolutely, and at the same time, we've got Syria and Lebanon, you know, the Hezbollah there, Hamas, the Palestinians, you've got Turkey, Erdogan, you know, at Turkey, and, you know, he's in it now with the Russians, and Iraq, I heard, is not, Iraq has turned to the Russians now, and Iran, and we you know, the U.S. and Israel basically has no friends. Now, the only different plan there is Salman in Saudi Arabia, who is forming this Arab coalition, you know, to go against Iran. Now, we don't know really where all this is going. We talked to Stan Deo, you know, a little bit in depth about some of that and some of the concerns he has. But I'll tell you what do you think of this? At the same time, you know, Salman, and I'm talking about the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, was in Washington and, you know, up in New York, and had met with the president, and this was about Iran. And what's interesting was the fact that, you know, there was a low-level conference. You know, nobody really hardly covered it at all, but I found the data on it that Salman had called a meeting between himself and some of his aides and Catholic leaders and the Jewish rabbi leadership, and they had the meeting at the United Nations. What do you think of that?
I would think they're probably working out the details for the upcoming peace accords, or they're plotting the scenarios of war, and it probably has a lot to do with the Temple Mount. I mean, you know, as you were talking offline, they're blaming Trump now for this Palestinian siege that underwent. When was that? Was that today?
Oh yeah, that began today, Friday, and will continue on. They call it almost a Passover war, but they are now American media, especially, is on Trump saying he started this war, and the only thing started this war is the Palestinians attacked Israel. Israeli troops, as they always do. And for those that don't know, the IDF defended themselves and killed about 15 so far and wounded over 1,200 Palestinians. And so, of course, the UN now is going into meetings about that. Of course, they always do this when, you know, Israel defends itself. But they are blaming Trump. They said his movement towards Jerusalem and interfering with the embassy and Jerusalem itself has incited this war.
Yeah, but everybody knows or should know, particularly I think the leaders do know, according to Psalm 2. I always remind folks, memorize Psalm 2. That's the foundation of all the prophecies that are now coming to pass, where the kings and the rulers and the leaders all get together and they conspire ultimately to kick out the Lord and his anointed. But it doesn't work. The Lord says, I'm going to hold them in derision, and I'm going to speak to them in my wrath, and I will set my son on the holy mountain. And so he's going to run it whether they like it or not. And, you know, I've always been amazed. You would have thought that the Arab world, who has tried to a number of times take out Israel, never works. And it's kind of like, how long does it take for them to get the concept down that they're not going to be able to get rid of Israel no matter how hard they try. It's not going to happen. So it's kind of amazing. And, you know, it's just, I guess, written in the prophecies. What do you think? It's amazing to me anyway.
Yeah, it's incredible. But we do know that this pivot that occurred, you know, prior to all this troubles, was a pivot to the Middle East. And so, you know, there's not much, I guess, the world can do about it. We're being thrust into a situation, a prophetic situation, that pretty much the world has no control over. They think they do, but they really don't.
Yeah, no, this is all part of the agenda. And I wanted to read a little bit about that because a lot of people don't realize what's really happening. First of all, we are living in a time-space tunnel. And think of it as a donut, if you want to think about how to envision it, or a wagon wheel, where the rim of the wagon is your time-space continuum, where the universe we live in is inside of this tunnel, so to speak. And it has a beginning, and it has an end. It's not infinite. It definitely has boundaries. And there is an alpha point, a beginning point, and there is an omega point. And within all of that circle, which the ancients always claimed, that it's just cyclic. And one age goes, and then another age comes, and then another age comes. And in between the ages, we go through these transition points, and the world is in upheaval. Not only the planet goes into upheaval, but the people and the civilizations existing go into an upheaval as well. And that's where we are. We're in the final phase of this transition, which has probably been building, I would say, since 1897, when the foundation for modern Israel began, and it just progressing upwards. And anyway, here's what the book of Revelation has to say about some of this. I am Alpha and Omega. This is Jesus Christ speaking. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Then again, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then again, he said unto me, it is done. That's kind of an interesting comment. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Again, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And for those who read the Old Testament, which you really have to do to understand the New, Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So you were shown ancient evil some time ago, and here it is about ancient times, which would be ancient evil, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is really, people don't understand that there is a program here, and God is going to, that's why he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So you start out with Psalm 2, then you branch out to all the other prophecies about the end, and you will find out exactly what's going on. And he stretched out the heavens. He says he did. He stretched it all out. So there you got it. Anyway, we are in this time tunnel, and all of this stuff that you're hearing about Solomon, for example, visiting with the leading Catholics and the Jewish leaders, they got to be working out either the peace accord or scenarios of war possible in the Temple Mount. It's all done kind of secretly, according to some, too. And probably most of it is, what do you think of this Salmon character?
Well, he's very mysterious. You know, he's almost, in a way, reminds you a little bit of Trump. You know, he's always been there, but he's been mysterious and almost hidden. And, of course, when he took, when he began to take over Saudi Arabia under his father, you know, the king, you know, he really, you know, he had this purge. You know, it was an incredible purging over there. And it's still going on, actually, but he has seized pretty much control. And it seems to be running things at the moment. And he's also, you know, he's allowing other nations to fly to Israel over Saudi Arabia, one of them including being India, which is now an ally of Israel. And he's also reaching out you know, taking a hand, you know, with Israel and supporting Israel. So this is so bizarre where this all seems to be going.
Yeah, he is a very mysterious person. And the one thing that really makes me wonder about him is that Area 51 type UFO alien base that's over there. And I can't remember the name of Gabriel's Gate or something like that that was found. You might remember that they had a huge thunderstorm, and lightning hit an area where they were digging. And remember the I can't remember if it was Putin, but Krill, I think it was, went down and visited and. All of a sudden, a Russian ship is going down to Antarctica. And then after that, all the world leaders, one by one, go down and visit Antarctica. Remember that?
I do, absolutely.
So maybe this is why Salmon is doing what he's doing. He's kind of a hawk. He's openly declared he's going to go get Iran, which would lead me to believe that Iran will probably, preempt. I mean, Israel is known for their preemption strikes, and it does work. There's no question about it. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 17, that appears to be the elimination of Damascus. And that sounds to me, I don't know if you'd agree or not, is that a preemptive attack? It sounds like it is.
Well, it could be, and we really just simply don't know who it is that does it. You know, there has been some warnings from Putin and the Kremlin lately against the U.S. because they claim that we have ships in the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf, and the Mediterranean ready to fire missiles at Damascus. And they're warning, you know, us not to do that. But if this is coming at the same time, we're having all the trouble in Syria and on the borders of Israel, and Iran's rattling its swords, and of course North Korea is engaged in this really, I guess you could say, unknown dialogue about, you know, denuclearization, if you will. So it's a very strange time we're in.
Oh, it is very weird. Here's another headline. Kuwait reports that Israel flew over Iranian nuclear site undetected. Can you tell me why they would be maybe doing that? Was that a clue?
Well, according to the information, and this is carried by Arab Press and also, you know, Drudge Report here in the States, and Koenig International News has got it on front page and a number of them. Now, Israel hadn't admitted it yet, but the reports indicate that two F-35 stealth warplanes out of Israel, and those are those stealthy ones that you can't detect hardly, overflew Syria and Iraq and into Iranian airspace and overflew a number of the Iranian facilities there, and it appears that it was possibly a prep, you know, a targeting flight. But the interesting thing was, and actually they even gave a number of cities that were targeted in this prep flight. The interesting thing is, though, they say, and you almost have to believe it, that Russian and Iranian missile defense batteries radar did not pick up this flight of the stealth warplanes that Israel sent over. So, you know, we're really close to something that we're not aware of, but it does appear, you know, Spandeo talked really straight up about Mohammed bin Salman and how he was building, you know, him, you know, either Saudi
yes.
Arabia, Israel, and the U.S., and other Arab countries were getting ready to go against Iran and strike Iran and take Iran down. And, of course, you know, you talk about Daniel 8, I believe it is.
Yep.
And we may be very close to that. And what's interesting is we don't know if Isaiah 17 comes first or second or where it actually all fits together.
Yeah. Here's what this says. The Kuwaiti Daily newspaper reported that the two IAF warplanes passed undetected over Syria and Iraq. If true, this would mean that the U.S.-built F-35 was not picked up by the S-400 anti-aircraft systems installed at the Russian air base in Syria. Jerusalem Post reported the F-35 circled at high altitude, targeting the Iranian cities Bandar Abbas, Esfahan, and Shiaz, I guess, all associated with Iran's nuclear program. You know, Bibi Netanyahu has, for a long time, said that Israel would not allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. Well, I'm not sure they don't already have them. What do you think about that? I mean, obviously, then they're targeting, and like you say, they're getting ready for something.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Israel did not have any F-35s or even a way to obtain them from the Obama administration, but Donald Trump immediately, when he entered office, he gave them two to start with, and I think he gave them three to five more, so they have a fleet now of F-35s, the stealth planes, and so you know you would have to admit, with Iran pumping up the attacks on all the borders, and I mean, you know, all Israel's borders are under attack right now and missile threat. With that happening, there has to be plans to begin to go after Iran because Israel said one time that they weren't always going to fight the proxies. They know who's behind it.
Well, yeah, you might as well decapitate the head of it. You know, when you're dealing with a snake, you cut the head off. You don't go after the tail because you just get turned around and bit. And this is what actually Israel has wanted to do, but the whole world is peacenik time now. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. We don't want war. Trump is a war hawk. You know, on and on it goes. He's going to kill us all. And so you've got this peacenik group against the warhawks. My attitude is they waited too long anyway. It's kind of like the United States where Trump comes in. He's trying, if he's legit, he's trying to unseat the deep state. And that's getting deeper and deeper now. there's probably no end to it. And they'll just keep investigating the investigators and the investigators. But nothing ever seems to get done. And now I understand that Sessions is refusing a secondary counsel. He's refusing to do that. So I don't know. We have been penetrated to the point where let me read some of the things that the communists wanted to do for everybody. This is true. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculums. Get control of the teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Gain control of all student newspapers. used student riots to foment public protests. What did we just see, Larry? All these kids.
Yeah.
Soros funded. Amazing. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. It's already been done. All you got to do is go look at who owns them. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and a free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches. Replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Now, I don't know about you folks. Every one of these things has been done and is still on the march. What do you think, Larry?
And by the way, Barry Rothman did a new Torah code on this Stormy Daniels situation that links in Mueller right in the middle of it. You want me to talk about that?
Yes, I sure do.
Yeah, because I'd like your opinion on it. Barry Rothman actually did a Torah code that he entitled Trump, Tramp, and the Valuation of Stormy Daniels. He did it yesterday, March the 29th, 2018. And he's not going to make any political points with this, but here you go. He made a comment, and the comment was, he said, unclean lesbian, porno star, prostitute, Stormy D, tries to bring down Trump as Mueller looks for ways to join her in the filth quest. And then you've got nine instances of, in the Matrix, and I'll name them. And I'd like your opinion after I'm through here. But number one, Stormy D. Number two, he will cry out, unclean, unclean. Number three, Trump. Number four, Mueller. Number five, for the female, the valuation will be, number six, three shekels of silver. Number seven, president. Number eight, lesbian. Number nine, prostitution. And Barry Rothman's evaluation of the Torah code, he says it seems to indicate from what he read of what was found in the Matrix is that Stormy Daniels is being used to bring down Trump and get him impeached and out of office, and Mueller is working behind the scenes trying to use the same data. And by the way, I just wanted to comment that you mentioned Jeff Sessions. And there are some rumors coming out today since Jeff Sessions said that he was going to have a special prosecutor look into, not a special one appointed, but a prior, I believe he said FBI official, look into some of the data. But it appears, though, that Mueller now has taken aim at Jeff Sessions, and they say, here we go with Jeff Sessions, Russia, Russia, Russia. They're going to try to knock him out with a Russian thing, you know, where he forgot he had met this Russian. And, this whole thing is just absolutely, it's like a three-ring circus, Stuart.
Well, they've got, the deep state has to get rid of Trump. And if they can't do it any other way, I'm afraid they probably attempt an assassination. Or they'll set him up for a war and we'll take a couple hits maybe or something like that. And they'll blame it all on Trump, and then they'll demand Obama come back. We were talking about that. You said, was that a prophecy that about possible Obama coming back by popular demand? There would have to be major chaos, though, right?
Yeah, that was a prophecy that was on Z3 News, z3news.com, and it was one about Obama being demanded by the people to return to lead the nation, and the whole world was demanding Obama instead of Trump because they said that the world situation becomes such a crisis that the outcry is so great for Obama to return. And we talked about our concerns that he would try to step back in.
Yeah. Well, and it would be global. I mean, if he is who I think he probably is, it's going to be a global call. And, of course, communists and insertion is global. I mean, all you got to do is look at Russia, China, and the rest of them. They're all basically communist-orientated. As I've said and read in those things, they've infiltrated the United States now to the point where basically we are a communist nation. It's just that the people don't know it yet. But, you know, with all the handouts and everything else that's going on, that's basically socialism. And that's what Obamacare was really all about. It was socialized medicine. And so, the infiltration of the communists worldwide. And of course, because they are, they can start a war anytime, the rich men of the earth. So they can start their little war to get their new world order. The only problem is, the Lord says, you want the world so badly? I'll give it to you. But then I'm going to take it away from you. And then I'm going to take all of you and place you in a place you're not going to want ever to go in. But like the prophet Daniel says, the wise will understand, but the wicked will never understand. Their mindset is such that they can't.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So like
you
said,
that, you made that comment about that place nobody would like, and that's exactly what Pope Francis did. He came out and negated hell. There is no hell. And what he did, this is interesting, Stuart, the Pope, they say, is he actually functions instead of Christ, basically. In other words, he claims he's Christ on the earth and the voice for heaven on the earth. And so what he did was basically negate the need for Jesus Christ, because literally Jesus Christ came and died and gave his life that we might avoid hell, a place like that, a horrible place. And so by saying there is no hell, the Pope has just now negated Jesus Christ. There's no need for him.
That's right. And a lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize that if you're going to accept evolution, you don't need Jesus Christ either. You're just evolving. We don't need a Messiah. The only way you ever need a Messiah is if the human race has fallen. And I think all one has to do, really, if they're not in total denial, is look around and you can see something's wrong with the human race. You were a police officer. You got to see the underside of the respectable civilization we're supposed to live in. It's not so respectable, and it's full of evil. And people just, for whatever reason, cannot accept the fact that they are a fallen creature in dire need of a redeemer. And I close out by reading some of this, because it's deadly stuff, folks, and you really need to pay attention. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Why? Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's really kind of a deadly thing. I want to skip over to Peter, 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Boy, is that ever a deadly warning. And if you look up the word privily, it's very, very interesting, because it means they bring in a lookalike salvation gospel that is utterly and totally false, but it looks for all the world like it's correct and right and everything else. And then you go to Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 4, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, and that's the Latter-day Church, that's the church today, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. There you go with the beginning of the creation. Science calls it the Big Bang. Okay, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The word spew is to vomit. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Isn't that an ugly word, Larry, that word repent? Do we ever hear that?
Well, I haven't heard that in years.
I know. And here it is right in the book of Revelation, and yet modern theology claims repentance is a work. It's a, some sort of a legalism and a work, so you have to refuse it. And here's the last one, and this is the interesting one. Behold, I stand at the door. Now, where have we heard that door before? Portal.
Yeah.
And I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the portal, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. So there you go. These are some really, really dangerous, I think, and very, very stiff warnings that are virtually being ignored. And you can present hundreds of verses to people who are stuck on modern salvation theology, and they can't see it. They just can't see it at all. They just walk away from it. Anyway, last word, Larry.
Well, it's very interesting. I know we don't have time tonight, but we'll just mention that in Texas they're having sinkholes and breaking part of the earth and new lakes forming, and the same thing in Peru and Africa. There's something weird going on the planet.
It's kind of like what Stan says, I think. The earth is expanding, and not a good sign, I guess. It's kind of interesting, and we can get to it next week because it's important. But in the book Phoenix Rising, that ne'er-do-well noise, that Indian shaman woman, who's clearly Antichrist and even says so, talks about all these rifts that are forming, sinkholes that will take down whole towns and villages. It's coming, folks. We're at the end of this thing, and we're in the middle of the final phase of all of this. Last word, Larry.
Just keep that seatbelt buckled.
I think more than buckle. Are we on a roller coaster at this point?
It seems like it. A lot of ups and downs every single day. I just tell people
to
stand and trust in the Lord.
Yep, that's about it. And anyway, good night, folks, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week, the Lord willing. So take it easy and heads up. Good night.